Well, amen. I'll mention this again probably Sunday, but I want you to know something, church. Our choir did us proud Monday night. They just did great on Monday night over at Crossroads at that statewide preachers fellowship. I had no less than five or six preachers tell me, said, "Can I take your choir and your choir director home with me?" And I'm telling you, they just did wonderful. And then we had a group of folks that came over and served the meal. And I'm telling you, those folks just raved about how good our people did. And so I want to thank those that gave of your night. And I'm going to tell you something. If you were able to hang around and hear the main preacher of the night, you hadn't forgot it yet. Kenny Baldwin, I'm telling you, that man is a preacher. But I'm going to tell you something. The guy that preached last night, the main service, he wasn't no slouch. He might have preached one of the best messages, maybe in the top five that I've ever heard. And so one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to try to get copies of every service or every message, and I'm going to have Brother Darrell put it on our website so that you can go and listen to these. And I'm telling you, you'll be blessed. I sat there for every single message right there on the front row. And I'm telling you, when I thought it couldn't get any better, it did. And it was just wonderful. And so I thank those that sang. I thank those that served. And so I'll brag on you folks a little bit more on Sunday. Well, tonight, we're still in our elective series. And so I'm going to ask the ladies to stand, those that want to. And I want you to go to the choir room. Miss Melba will be teaching you ladies again tonight on putting on the whole armor of God. And then I'll ask you you fellows to come forward and kind of sit a little closer to the front here if you want to. If you can't do it, stay where you're at. I don't care. But anyway, Brother James is going to be continuing his series on the seven churches of Asia Minor. And so I hope you'll enjoy these tonight. And you just sit back and just enjoy what you're going to hear, okay? Brother James, come on up. And Miss Melbourne, her crew will be going.
And the bright lights come on.
Man. Well, good evening, folks. Good to see you.
Glad you're here. I tell you, I was going to tell Brother, there he is, Brother Darrell. I thought he was leaving. I was the one that got that third Cornish hen. You can tell by looking, can't you? Anyhow, we're glad you're here tonight. We are in the Fourth Church of Asia Minor. If you get just a little bit out of what I have gotten out of this, trying to study it and try to prepare for it, you'll be blessed by what you do get, not necessarily from me, but from the Word of God. I have thoroughly enjoyed preparing for this. I told Brother Don tonight, I says, he asked me if I went yesterday to the Preacher's Fellowship, and I told him, I said, man, I know what it's like to try to prepare two, might as well say lessons, messages, or whatever, you know, to try to get those things done in a week. It pushes you. But anyhow, yeah, I understand that for sure. But anyhow, we're in the Fourth Church. It's where weakness made strong is what Thyatira is. But anyhow, I mentioned several times there that John the Revelator is the one that the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll say more about that in a moment, on the Isle of Patmos gave this to him. He'd been exiled to the Isle of Patmos, and he was there. He was there for about 2 years, from 94 to 96 A.D. They had been banished there for preaching the Word of God. Can you imagine that they sent him there for preaching the Word of God? Just isn't right, is it? But anyhow, that's what they did there. And he preached the Word of God, and they exiled him there to be able to spend some time. And when he did, the Lord took advantage of that. I've often said that it amazes me about the seven churches here that the Lord Jesus Christ himself came and he spoke to about these seven churches and to John and told him to write down the things that he asked him to write down. And he did those things, and that's the reason that we have what we have about the church there in the different churches there. But Thyatira was a small town about 35 miles southeast of Pergamos, which was found by the general Seleucid Nicator under Alexander the Great there in about 300 B.C. The military garrison greatly strengthened the city that was there, a little in depth maybe, which was noted for its commerce, for its craft, and for its tanning, its coppersmith, its pottery, and its purple dye. Lydia, the lady that we know of there, that she come from the city of Thyatira, and she was the lady that Paul's ministry talks about there in Philippians and in Acts chapter 16. But we're talking about the church there, and it's fascinating to me that the Lord Jesus Christ himself came. Should tell us the importance of him coming and him writing these things down about the church. But let me tell you, folks, it's not just the church. You got to understand that the reason that he was so animate and the reason that he had such compassion and the reason he had such concern for the church. And we miss this a lot of times, that we're the bride of Christ and we're going home one of these days. Not much is mentioned about the bride of Christ, but we are the bride of Christ. Jesus said there when he said, if I go away, he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He went away there when he died on the cross of Calvary. Some days later, he ascended back into heaven there. But Jewish customs, marriage Jewish customs, dictates that the groomsman or the groom, that he would set aside his bride, the espousal, or we call it an engagement. But he would go through the engagement part of this thing. Is he would set aside his wife. And there's different occasions of that, different occasions in the Word of God. Joseph and Mary, where he had actually set her aside. He was a spouse to her. The Bible says he was going to put her away privately. But he decided an angel of the Lord convinced him not to, because she was great with child, and it was the Lord Jesus Christ. But anyhow, Jewish customs tells us that it could have been whenever that espousal period was anywhere from two days, could be a year, that he would set her aside and they would go their separate ways. But let me tell you the thing about it. Listen closely is that what happened was he had set her aside. He'd go his way and she'd go her way. But the Bible says the Jewish custom was that he would go back to his home, to his father's house, and he would add rooms, or he would add places for him to stay. The Bible says in John chapter 14, in my father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, if I go away, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. The Lord Jesus Christ says this is a type of that, that he went away. He went to prepare those mansions that you and I know about is mansions for bride, for the bride of Christ. And one day we're going home. Also, it talks about there in the Jewish customs of the church, and that's what we're talking about, the church. We are the bride of Christ. And also, the Bible talked about there that the espousal period, the union was made, and the Bible said, or the custom says that for about 1 week after the period of the consummation there, that they with their friends, and they made merry, and they danced, and they had feasts and things such as that. And folks, if you don't see this, I'm sorry. But anyhow, the Bible talks about when the rapture of the church takes place, And the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall ever be with the Lord forever. You know, the Bible says the trumpet's going to sound. And I've never heard anybody preach about what the sound of that trumpet is. And I believe I know what this, and if I'm wrong, leave me alone. That's about all I can tell you. But I believe what that trumpet's going to be blowing is wedding music. I believe it is. I never heard anybody talk about it. I know the shofar, and I don't know if they can blow it or not, but I believe it can. With God, all things are possible. But anyhow, I believe when those graves break open, there when the dead in Christ shall rise first, I believe they're going to come out of that grave, the old saints of God, singing that wedding song. Is that wedding music that I hear? I believe when they come out of that ground, that's what they're going to be hearing. But anyhow, we're talking about the bride of Christ is what we're talking about. We're talking about the church. And that's the reason that Christ has such an interest. Listen, the Bible said he's picking him out a church there in Ephesians chapter 5, I believe 27, without spot or without wrinkle. He wants some blemish proof. He wants them where they're pure, so they're holy. And that's the way he wants his church. That's the reason he's taking such interest in these churches, in the churches that you and I know around the country today. Every one of these churches there that we're speaking about there is speaking about churches that are happening today somewhere, some shape, form, or fashion. But his interest is in the church. And the reason it is because it's his bride. He wants a bride without spot or without wrinkle. And that's the reason he's taken the time with it that he has. The church of Thyatira, let me give you a little introduction. A compromising church. Compromising will destroy any church, folks. Compromising the word of God, your standards, your policies, things such as that will destroy any church in the country. No church needs it. And that's what Thyatira was. It was a compromising church. We live in a world of compromising where people seek their own interest at any cost. Nowadays, in the days in which we live, people today will sell their soul and profession and their possessions for power and pleasure and popularity. Whatever it takes to get ahead, they don't care in these days in which we're living. People young and old will compromise and go along with most anything nowadays that they think will further them in some shape or form. They'll do most anything to get attention. They'll do most anything for popularity, for acceptance, for securities, for living in different areas and bigger houses and things like that, and to live in certain neighborhoods and to gain more power. People will do anything for that. And listen, folks, there's nothing wrong with any of those things I mentioned. But they got to be in the right priorities. They got to be in the right place to be able to be worthy for anything. Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. The Bible says, "And to the angel, or the minister of the church of Thyatira, write these things, saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto the flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass." Now, Thyatira nails it down, and he says, this is the Son of God. Ephesus there told him to write, and he said, write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Samaria there talks about it. He said, write these things. Different churches, he tells them different things to do. And he said, I am the first and the last, which was dead and now is alive. And, of course, Thyatira is what we just read there. He declares himself to be the Son of God. He identifies himself. Of course, we already knew who it was. And 18 there, there's no difference at Thyatira than any other churches Christ deals with. His under-shepherd and his minister is who he's dealing with. The Bible calls him there. I told Brother Tommy last week, he's calling him an angel. And I've heard them call more than angels before. You have too. But anyhow, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. But anyhow, he's called an angel. He's called a minister. He's called a messenger. He's called a pastor. Any of those will fit that we're talking about here. But he's identifying. He said, I want to pastor. I want to minister that church. The under shepherd. I want him to know. And he's addressing him with these things. Well, why do you think he's addressing the pastor? Because he's the under shepherd, number one. And number two is he's concerned about his bride. He wants a bride that's without spot and wrinkle. He wants her to be pure. And if that pastor don't preach what thus saith the word of God without fear, favor, or compromise, then that church is not going to be a church that's without spot or wrinkle. It's not going to be that way. If they compromise on what they're preaching and teaching and things of that nature and allow everything under the sun to take place in that church, which I'm thank God that we don't have a church like that. But that's what he's talking about here. But that's the reason is because he wants a church without spot or without wrinkle. Christ holds the minister, the pastor, holds him responsible for preaching the whole counsel of God. Everything that he asks him to preach, he wants him to preach it. He don't want him to leave anything out. He don't want him to miss nothing. He don't want him to compromise in any way. Christ declares that he is the Son of God in this passage here. Christ is the one whom a person owes their life to. Listen, no person, especially a believer, is to compromise with the world. The Bible tells us clearly, come out from among the world and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean things of the world, saith the Lord. He expects us to be in the world, but not of the world. Vast difference in that. And if we'd ever learn that and learn that we can be in the world, but not of the world, we don't have to be a party to their filthy jokes and their filthy ideologies and places they go and the things they partake. We don't have to do that as Christians. The Bible says that we are peculiar people, number one. The Bible said when we got saved, said old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. We're a new creature in Christ Jesus. But not only that, Christ is the one whom a person owes their life to. I owe my very life to him. My life wouldn't be worth 2 cents without the Lord Jesus Christ. I wouldn't be here tonight. Neither would you. But I owe everything that I am and ever hope to be to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're separate people, a peculiar people is what the Bible says there. And we're supposed to not only just declare that, but we're supposed to act like that. Everywhere we go and everything we do, we're supposed to be an example for the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ sees all. He sees a compromising person. He knows when a person compromises, whether it be in the dark or in the light or behind closed doors or whether he lies, cheats, steals, whatever he does. Christ knows all about that kind of stuff. The Bible said that his feet are like fine brass. He's able to stomp out compromising teaching and preaching. He's able to do that. And he will do that, I promise you, because again, it's his bride that's at stake, and he wants the very best, and he wants that marriage to take place. Mentioned in the marriage, you know, Bible talks about there when dead in Christ will rise first, we which are alive remain. The Bible talks about the judgment seat of Christ. I don't know how long it's going to take. I know 7-year tribulation is taking place down here, but I also know that there's a marriage supper of the Lamb. The Bible says that the table is spread from sky to sky. We're going to sit down, and the Lord Jesus Christ is going to gird himself, and he's going to serve us. And that's going on at the 7-year, when the 7-year tribulation period takes place. The Jewish custom was that after the consummation of that marriage for 1 week, 7 days, folks, there's types all over the Word of God if we'll just look. For 7 days, that feast and party and all of that's going to take place after that wedding. Well, the marriage supper of the Lamb is going to be in heaven. 7-year tribulation, which is 7 days. The Bible says 1 day with the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day. I'm just saying, And it's not a coincidence that that marriage supper of the Lamb is going to be taking place in heaven. The very same 7 days, which was a week in the Jewish custom on earth, when after that marriage was consummated. Let you chew on that just a little bit. Verse 19, the Bible says, "And I know thy works, and thy charity and service and faith, and thy patience and thy works. And the last is to be more than the first." Verse 19 there, Christ, he's given a commendation. He's given praise. He's given adoration, so to speak, to them. Thyatira was a very active church. You say, really? Very active church. Listen, do some comparisons here. Very active church, involved in all kinds of works of the Lord. They were works of love. They loved people. They had services. They had ministries. They showed love to individuals. They showed care and interest. I believe such ministries would include evangelism, reaching out to the lost, the youth, the growth of the youth, the development of them, the adults, the adult ministries, and, all of that. And you can have all of that, folks, in the day which we lived. That's possible that they had it back then. But he's given a commendation to that because they were doing. Listen, I told you last week or week before last that the Lord is what he does. You know, many times I've asked different folks, I said, I've got good and bad. What do you want first? The Lord gives you the good first. He's giving you the good first in all of this. And then he's going to give you, so just hang on. It's coming, the things he don't like. But he's telling you what he does like. He's trying to build them up, trying to help them out so they don't get discouraged. And I'm sure that's not his attempt is to get them, as for them to be discouraged, but for them to understand where his heart is. And he wants their heart to be where his heart is. But anyhow, such ministries, as I mentioned, takes in all of these, college age, the needy, the widows, the orphans, missions, home missions, abroad missions, all these different ministries of the church could have very well been in the church of Thyatira. It was vibrant, it was alive, meeting all the social needs of the community. Everything that there was a need, the church helped it. I told someone the other day, I don't know if it was in the churches or whatever, but if the church, and I'm talking about the people of the church is the people of the church, it's not the building, but if the church or the people of the church would tie their income, they wouldn't have to have all these social giveaway programs that the government provides. The church is able to take care of itself. God said if you give you 10% and maybe every now and then an offering, everything will be great. And I believe they was probably doing that as well. But yet in this church, it was allowing teachers, listen to me, to compromise, who was compromising with the world. Allowed teachers. If they were allowed teachers, they were allowed preachers. It was allowing the world to be baptized into the church without repentance. Listen, when you got a mixture, you need to have a mixture in the church. And listen, I'm by no means is advocating that an individualist lost don't need to be in, come through those doors. Those are the ones that needs to come through the doors. But when they get through the doors, the average church, majority of the churches, that they'll come down, they'll be popping their bubble gum, whistling, skipping, and everything else, won't join the church and be baptized. Hard to believe that God's in that. And you say, you're judging, Brother James. No, I just know a few of the guidelines that God's got for his people, the ones that supposedly is supposed to be saved, that he expects them to be like. And that's not none of them. But anyhow, I'll go on. But it was allowing the world to be baptized into the church without repentance. Folks, I'm telling you, when you get that, people, and if you know they're not, I mean, it's a hard thing. And I mentioned this the other day. It's a hard thing to know when somebody is truly saved. Yeah, and I'm not trying to be a judge or anything of that nature. But, set them aside. Do something so that, But when you get the world in the church, the ideas of the church is in there. The ways of the church, ways of the world becomes part of the church. If you're not real careful, I'm telling you, the church will end up being the world, be infiltrated with it, and God won't be honored. He won't be pleased, and nobody will be helped. Verse 20 and 21, the Bible says, Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. I told you it was coming, Brother Darrell. It's coming. Because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. It says, verse 21, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repenteth not. Verse 20 and 21, Christ is now lodging a complaint, not a commendation. This is a complaint to the church, that against the church of Thyatira for being in a backslidden condition. You're not what you're supposed to do. You're not doing what you're supposed to do and everything. You're allowing Jezebel to teach in the church. There's two things mentioned here. The church was tolerating a false prophetess to teach within the church. Folks, I don't have time to go into the thing with women necessarily. I love you ladies. I do in the Lord. But there's a place that God's got for men. He's got a place for women. The Bible says they're not to usurp authority over a man. And God has foreordained that from the very foundation of the world. He did it with Adam. He did it with Eve. He put her under him. And that's the way God wants it. And there ain't no need to say a whole lot more about it. But that's what God wants. But see, now here she's proclaiming to be. And the Bible says that if she can tell me how she can be the husband of one wife, I would think she'd be able to be a pastor, a preacher. You know what just really irks me to no end? I might as well get this off my chest. Is that when you go down the road and you see Mr. and Ms. Pastor on a marquee. Now, they're not talking about that that's just his wife. They're co-pastoring is what they're doing. A lot of these so-called churches, folks, God ain't in 1,000 miles of that kind of stuff. And if they're hearing it on the internet, I hope if they need it, they hear it. But anyhow, I can back it up with Scripture. Let me just put it that way. So bring it on. Anyhow, the church was tolerating false teaching was what they were doing. They were tolerating false teaching. The Bible said that they was teaching false teaching, seductions, fornication. Idolatry was being taught in the church instead of preaching what thus saith the word of God says. Those things were being taught in the church and be taught there by Jezebel. She was the instigator of this. Jezebel was a false teacher that was allowing to seduce the Lord's servants, the Bible says. She was seducing them to do all manner of things. Can't imagine. And Jezebel, the false teacher, was seducing believers to commit fornication, that and all manner of immoral acts. Jezebel also was of the persuasion that Christians did not need to separate themselves from the world. No, for separation there at all. In order to do business with the world, she said you need to be a part of the world. It'll amaze you how many people's got that thought pattern in their mind. Hey, if I'm going to do business with the world, I've got to jump right in there of the world, both feet, do exactly what they want me to do. If they want me to go out and have a drink or something like that or go somewhere I don't need to go, that's fine. That's what they think. That's what the world thinks. No, that's not what God thinks. He says, come out from among the world and be you separate. He don't want you in those places. He wants a bride that's without spot, wrinkle, or without blemish. That's what he wants. Not only does he want it, that's what he expects. If he expects it, he needs to get it. And if he don't get it, we're going to suffer loss because of that. The second thing is there that was mentioned there about Jezebel teaching in the church. The other thing is she seduced believers to commit idolatry. Thyatira was a hub for trade unions and commerce. Many of the socials that they had in relation to this, their parties, if you please, they were held in the temple of a false god. You know, the Bible says there's many, and I've seen them, you've seen them over the years. They have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I mean, they may look and smell and act a little bit like, that the Lord may want them, but they're denying the power thereof. That's all they do is they look and they may smell a little bit like it, but they're not Christians. Not Christians at all. Remember, folks, we talked about idolatry was what Jezebel was behind. And idolatry is anything that a person puts first. First in their life. In other words, everything that they do and the things that as idolatrous is things that they're putting before the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, nothing, absolutely nothing should ever come before the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, a lot of people put first in their life, it could be their job, their money, positions, their possessions, their pleasures, their sports, businesses, families, self-knowledge and power. Any of those can be put first. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with any of those. Not the first thing wrong with those. They've just, as old saying goes, there's a pecking order. And they're not to come first. That's just the short and the long of it. If any of those come first, before the Lord Jesus Christ, then that is idolatry. That's having a false God, and God's not within 1,000 miles of that. John chapter 15, verse 19, the Bible said, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Folks, those of you that want to live godly in Christ Jesus, I'm telling you, the world hates you. That's what the Bible said. Don't take that out on me. I'm just a messenger tonight. The world hates you. But let me tell you something. The world's going to love you if you don't live godly in Christ Jesus. If you get out there and rub shoulders with the world and they see you as the world and you treat them as each other treat one another, and you don't live godly and you live like the world, come in church on Sunday morning and try to live godly in Christ Jesus and then go out on Monday and live like the devil, they're going to spot you. And the world hates you, folks. If you live godly in Christ Jesus, the world don't like you. I promise you, they don't like you. You say, well, I'm not doing real well as far as being hated right now. I don't know of anybody that hates me. Well, let me ask you, are you... And are we proclaiming his name? We're talking about him? We're letting folks know on which side we're on? Lots of times they don't hate you because they don't know which side you're on. They don't have a clue which side you're on. You know what the worst part of that is? If we're not real careful, we'll forget which side we're on. We need to remember which side we're on. Proclaim his name. Revelation chapter 22 and 23. We have got to hurry. The Bible said in 22 and 23, behold, I will cast her into the bed, and them that committeth adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all of the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins of the heart, and will give unto thee every one of you according to your works. 22 and 23. Christ gives another warning, is what he's doing here. He's giving a warning to the compromising, corrupt church. There's five things that I want you to see there in this right here. She is to be cast upon the bed of sickness. Now, I added the word sickness, but the commentaries that I read and studied, I think that's what it's talking about, that she's going to be cast onto the bed of sickness there. And what I think he's talking about, some say this is possibly either venereal disease because of all of her promiscuity that was taking place there. And then others would say that... That possibly because of all the drinking, cirrhosis of the liver could possibly be the other part of what it's talking about there. But she would receive judgment. It's what it's talking about to match her sin, she would reap what she's sown. Folks, if you don't really believe that there's a God that gives you what you deserve, then you're living in a fantasy world. Bible said we reap what we've sown. Now that also applies if you apply godly principles to your life. You live godly in Christ Jesus, and God's going to reward you according to that. But if you want to go out there and live like the devil 6 days out of the week and try to worship in the house of the Lord, which doesn't normally happen if you live like the devil 6 days out of the week, you're going to get rewarded for exactly what you've sown. You're going to reap that. And that's a promise from God. The second thing is that he warns them that have been a participant in her seduction and this lifestyle. Christ says that he will cast her and those are a party to such things, and he is going to cast them into great tribulation unless they repent. Shows his mercy and his grace that God extends to everyone. I'm a firm believer that God will, if you belong to him, which is not saying, but he's saying, I'll give, if you'll repent, those of you that's in the church, I'll accept that repentance and I'll restore you is what he's saying. I'm convinced a child of God that gets away from the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that the Lord Jesus tries everything possible, time after time, to bring that individual back into the fold so that they're not bringing reproach upon him and his name. But when that individual denies that and he goes away from that and he doesn't come back to the Lord Jesus Christ and he keeps doing all manner of things, I believe God will shut the door on him. I believe he'll call his number and he'll get him out of this world because of bringing reproach. The Lord Jesus Christ does not allow reproach to be brought upon his name. He doesn't put up with that. The third thing is, there was the warning to the children of Jezebel, or followers. That's what he's talking about, the followers, the things that Jezebel was preaching there. She thought she was anyhow, what she was proclaiming. Who are the children? Those that have followed her false teaching lifestyles. That, there's a warning to them. The Bible talks about, I'm a firm believer of this, that we're a product of our upbringing. And those that follow such will end up being like that very thing, same thing that Jezebel was. 23 there, the Bible says, and I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins of the heart, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works there. These are the participants. I read that a moment ago, that in such the ones that participate in things such as Jezebel was proclaiming there, she said she was a prophetess. There's no such thing as a prophetess. She thought she was, and she laid it on God. She said God's the one that called her. And the one that he was responsible for it. We know better than that, though. But it says there, and such will be killed. I believe that God's hand of judgment is going to fall on these particular individuals. That's what he's talking about. In the latter part of verse 23, we see that holy and righteousness judge. He's considering all of our works, everything that we do. I'm glad that we're in the hands of a thrice holy God, and that he knows exactly what we do, what we're capable of doing, and he, according to that, gives us what we deserve. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 tells us to repent. Ye therefore be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Blotted out there. When the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Verse 24. Excuse me, 25. The Bible says, but unto you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depth of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burdens. Does that not sound like you reap what you've sown? He said, if you've not been a part of this thing, the things that Jezebel's been teaching, if you've not been practicing those things, He said, I'm not going to bring judgment upon you just because you're party of that. Now, that's what he's telling them. He said, but you're going to get what you deserve as well, regardless of what that may be. But that's what he's saying there in that verse there. Verse 25, but that which you have already hold fast till I come. Those things that you know, practice those things and do the things that I've asked you to do until I come. Just keep participating in those things. Christ addressed the rest of Thyatira, those of you that have been faithful and steadfast. He counsels them to just hold on fast, hold on. The Bible talks about run this race with patience that's set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and the finish of our faith. You know, many have started running that I've seen over the years. Many, many a good saint. Somewhere or another, they get within just a short distance, seemingly, of that finish line, and they quit. They stop. They never finished. That's not what the Lord Jesus Christ wants anyone to do. But this promise is of those who have separated themselves from the world, its pleasures, its possessions. No other burdens, he said. No other burdens. I'm not going to place upon you. Could mean a lot of different things. But I believe things have been tough. They've been suffering there in the church of Thyatira. The whole church have been suffering in different ways. But I believe for those that were faithful, should be an example for you and I today. You know, there's folks in every church and every church around it that just, hey, they want to look good and look prim and proper and all of that, and don't really want to serve the Lord. They just don't want to. That's kind of what he's talking about here in this. You know, if you'll just hold on, hold out, and hold fast, keep running that race. You know, do what I ask you to do. Be obedient. Be faithful is what he's saying. That's what God expects any of us to do, is be faithful. Just do what he asks us to do. Be for his our good and his glory is what it'll be. But I believe for faithful, God's hand of protection is going to be a little bit stronger on these individuals here that he's talking about. They'll do these things, they'll hold on, they'll persevere. It'll be a little stronger. He's going to smooth the road out just a little bit smoother. Not going to be as rough. Sometimes these old roads get a little bit rough, and it's hard to persevere, and it's hard to walk some of these roads. A lot that's out there, and you know that just as well as I do. But he's talking about not being a part of the world, but we know that we can be in the world, as I mentioned earlier, not be a party to the world. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ expected there, what he's telling the church at Thyatira. It's what I want you to be. We're Christians that are separated from the world, but having nothing to do with anything that harms the body and the soul and the mind. You know, that was the Nicolaitans. That was their problem was. As the Lord said, I hate the ways of the Nicolaitans. The reason was because all they believed in was just, they didn't believe in having anything to do with they believed in the body and the soul. They believed they could act and do whatever they wanted to do, whenever they wanted to do it, and wherever they wanted to do it. But they thought they could also get off and party and drink and carouse and do all manner of things with the body. And that the Lord didn't have anything to do with the body. But the Bible tells us the body is the temple of the Lord. That's just as important as the rest of it is. But they don't see that many a time. Verse 26 through 29. And we're, GW, maybe we're coming in for landing. And he that overcometh and keep my works, listen, unto the end. That's not stopping halfway. That's not falling out and fainting. That's running that race with patience. To him will I give power over the nations. Interesting, isn't it? And he shall rule them with a rod of iron and vessels of potter. Shall they be broken into shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give them the morning star. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. There's a promise here. We're getting around to another promise here. To the overcomer, those that persevere, those that will hold on, hold out, those that will run that race with patience is what he's talking about. Those that doesn't compromise with the world. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You know, everything is black and white. A lot of folks don't want, they want something in between there. Lots of folks do nowadays. You know, they don't want to hear what thus saith the word of God says about anything. The Bible said in the latter days they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They don't want sound doctrine. They want smooth talk. Tell me something that'll tickle my fancy. Make me feel good. Oh, don't make me feel bad. Let me tell you something, folks. If the word of God is preached in its purity and its power and you feel bad, you better thank God. You better thank God that you feel bad about it, because the convicting power of the Holy Spirit's working on you, and you better listen to it. That's free. Okay? But anyhow, there's a promise to those that overcome. The ones that overcome seduction, fornication, immorality, drunkenness, loose parties, idolatries, false teachings of the world, those that overcome those particular things, who keep on living and working for Christ, is the ones he's talking about. The overcomers will be given power. The Bible says here, over the nations. Over the nations is what he's talking about there. Psalms chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possessions. Huh? Sound pretty good, don't it? Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. This is a great promise of ruling and reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about those that are faithful over little, he'll make you rulers over much. He's going to give you a position. You've been faithful. You've done what he asked you to do. We all know that Christ will return one day and conquer all the forces of evil. The Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he's the Lord. He's Lord. The faithful will be given positions of ruling and reigning throughout the universe is what the Bible says. Luke chapter 19, verse 17, he said unto them, him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. 10 cities. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. The Bible said, did you know that the saints shall judge or oversee, if you please, the world? And if the world shall be judged of you, and ye are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matter? Verse 26 is talking about, and he says to the overcomers, is given the morning star. Who's the morning star? He's the bright and morning star. In other words, you're going to have possession of him. He's going to have possession of you, and you're going to have possession of him. It's Jesus Christ himself. Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, the Bible says, the last part says that I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. It's a guarantee, never be apart from Jesus again, is what he's talking about there. Verse 29 there. This is probably one of the strong, and he winds up these things, the ends of these church ages at Asia there, he winds them up. He that hath an ear, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He very much wants us to understand what his message is to the church. He wants us to understand through the Spirit of God. I can tell you things, but unless the Spirit of God intervenes and gives it to you, it's not going to be any good. That's the reason he said the Spirit of God. But I can tell you things that you might buck up about, you may dislike, you may not like me for it. But if the Spirit of God conveys these things to you, you better listen to him. And that's what he's saying there. You better listen to me, what I've got to say. It's important, and the reason it's important, because I love my church. I mean, I love the church is what he's saying. I love my bride. And I want that bride to be the best bride, without spot or without blemish. You know, think about this. Probably each and every one of you has probably taken a wife or a spouse. You know, the Lord wants something that's without spot, without wrinkle, the Bible says in Ephesians, without blemish. What if, you know, there's not a one of you, not a one of us that didn't want a wife when we took a wife, or she took a husband that was as pure as possible, okay? And that's the only thing the Lord Jesus Christ wants, and that's the reason he is admonishing the ministers. I mean, he's putting it on is the responsibility that a pastor, a messenger of God, the angel, it says, that he gives a responsibility to them is a great, great responsibility for them to preach what thus saith the word of God to the people of God, that a wife might be delivered to him without spot or without wrinkle. And that's the reason he's given it specifically to the church itself, so that they'll understand and they'll get it straight. The old saying goes, and I'm not calling the Lord a horse, but you know, we use that old phrase, straight from the horse's mouth. They're getting it straight from the Lord. And, you know, they, if we take it serious, should listen to what he has to say. I believe GW's let me go over 1 minute, so I'm going to have to pray. Love you, folks. I appreciate you coming. Those of you that's coming and listening, I hope you're getting something out of this. Lord, we love you. Thank you for being so good to us.